turning your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2. Now, we started last week, and we didn't get very far, but we started last week in a study that we're calling Cults. And over the summer, for some of you who have been gone for the summer, we just finished a study, and so we asked the class to choose what they wanted to study next, and really the overwhelming one was the study of cults. And the study of cults, of course, looking at different groups that teach things contrary to the Bible. And you know, when you say a cult, sometimes our minds think of somebody in an airport or somebody who's coming door to door knocking on your door, or somebody has some really strange beliefs. Here's the deal. Sometimes the cults don't look very strange. You have to be real careful because they try to be as close to true Christianity as they can. They're wrong, but sometimes they try to do that. And so in the next weeks, we're going to be looking at this. We'll get a little run through in just a second. But our plan is to be grounded, of course, in the Word of God and to know the truth and to be ready to give an answer. So there's some things there. Let's start with a prayer, and then we'll sort of get a little review of some of the things we looked at last week, and then we'll get rolling into the study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you, Lord, for each one's here. Lord, we thank you for college students. We're so glad many of them are here today, and we love them, and we thank you for them. We pray they're going to have the greatest school year of their lives, that they'll do so well in school, and they'll have a lot of fun as well, and this will be one of the greatest times for them. Lord, thank you for our church as a whole. Thank you for the privilege we have as believers to be able to come together to study the Bible, to meet, to grow, to be equipped and trained. And Lord, you know that that's our goal and dream, is that we'll equip the believers to do the ministry, to build up the body of Christ. Lord, we ask you that as we look at this study, that we call cults, and we look at these different groups, and Lord, we know that they're out there and they have beliefs and teachings and things that are so contrary to the Word of God that we want to be ready. We want to know what we believe, and we want to be ready to give an answer for everyone that has the hope with us in us. Teach us, Lord, today as we begin in this. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're doing a study on cults, and if you turn on the television or you read books or you hear sometimes famous people talking, you hear things that are just different than what we believe. If you go back to it, the bottom line is the Scripture. The Scripture, God's Word, is perfect and true. It is the basis for our authority, is the basis of what we believe, is the basis for our lives. Now, we know that there are things out there that don't use the Scripture or use something beside the Scripture or something with the Scripture, and there are all kind of different groups. We call them a cult. Now, the difference between a cult and a false religion, a false religion doesn't necessarily have anything to do with Jesus. Usually, cults sometimes have Jesus connected with it. They'll use Jesus in some way, and we'll talk more about that as we go through it. Today, we're seeing things like movie stars who are in Scientology, or Oprah and the New Earth, and Eckhart Tolle, and the occult, and people claiming to have found the New Age, or the New Truth, or the New Earth, all of those kind of things. How do we deal with that? How do we deal with it when all these people are, when you hear this on the TV or the radio, and somebody famous says this, some movie star says this, somebody that you know and trust, or you've thought was right, and they start telling you they've got some new revelation somehow, something like that. How do we deal with all this? Well, we want to be able to be ready to give an answer, and that's really the thing that's there. In fact, here's I think this the slide, our plan, and that's really is that the very first slide? That's the second slide. Okay, Okay, that's at the top of the page. Okay, the plan is to be grounded. If you got your handout on the very first page, the plan is to be grounded, and the second part is to be ready. Okay. And then if you want to, you don't have to write all that out. But there's the bottom of the page where it says our goal. Our goal is to know what we believe. That's bottom line. You know what you believe. What amazes me is there are many Christians who don't know what they believe. They sort of know what they believe. They think they know what they believe. But if somebody begins to challenge them, or somebody says, if somebody came to your door and said, started talking about salvation, and they would say to you, but salvation is more than just faith because the Bible says this, would you be able to answer that? Would you be able to say, no, I know what the Bible says, and I believe this, and let me take you to some verses to show you. But that's one of the goals of our study, is that we would know what we believe. We'd be grounded in what we believe. We would be prepared and ready to give an answer and stand for it. And of course, part two there says, be ready to give an answer so that you can answer people. Because there are people who believe all sorts of things now. Now, let me tell you a change. And so we have some guys that I meet with on Saturday mornings. We were talking yesterday. And one of the things that's out there is this. You would say, I hope and pray you would say, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through Him, that He is the way of salvation, that by faith alone in Christ alone you have eternal life, that's salvation. There are a lot of other people who may not believe that, You might say, listen, they got the right to believe whatever they want to believe, but I don't have to say that that's right. I can say to them, I think you're wrong, and here's what I believe is right, okay? Nowadays, you can't really say that anymore. If you were to say to somebody, I think you're wrong, I think Jesus is the only way, they call you intolerant. The truth is this, what everybody wants today is for people to say, you believe in Jesus, that's your way, that's fine. I believe in Eckhart Tolle, or I believe in Oprah, or I believe in Tom Cruise, and Scientology, or this other thing, or this, and they're all just as valid. And so you can't say Jesus is right and they're wrong. You can say, I believe Jesus, you believe them, they're all fine. If you were to say, no, they're wrong, our label today is that you're intolerant. Well, just be intolerant, because they are wrong. There is only one way of salvation. Jesus said it. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Him. The only way. There is no other way. And when people want to say to you, well, there are a lot of different ways to God, and you're just making it too narrow. Listen, I'm not making it narrow. Jesus made it narrow. I trusted Him as my Savior. The Scripture teaches this, and the very clear that Jesus said, there is no other way to be saved. He's the only way. So that's, you know, we've got to know what we believe, and we've got to be grounded in those truths. So that's sort of the idea of what we're thinking about as we go through our authority, as we go through our study of the cults, is the Word of God. And we need to have an understanding about those who deny the Scripture, about untruths, about Christ and salvation. We want to be able to do that. Let me give you the outline. You should have the outline on your, I guess, is it the second page? Second page. Let's look at the outline together and what we're going to do. And we'll finish, I think we'll finish the introduction this morning. Lord willing, we'll go, what is a cult? Why do we study the cults? What are the marks of a cult? Why do people join a cult? We'll go with those four things. We actually touched on what is a cult last week, so I'm just going to barely touch on it a little bit this week, just kind of a definition, those kind of things. Then there are some groups that we're going to look at, not necessarily in this order. I just put them down here because it may be that we want to touch on one of these others earlier, but some of the famous groups are the Mormons, which are the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Jehovah's Witnesses, Unification Church, which some of you have heard of them as the Moonies, the Christian Scientists, which I said last week is neither Christian nor scientist, okay? Unitarian Universalist. I brought this up last week. If you remember reading in the paper about the man who went into the church while they were having a play, the play in the church, by the way, was Annie, and somebody went in and began to shoot people. That was a Unitarian Universalist church. So that just wants you to know they're out there. Transcendental Meditation, the New Age Movement, Eckhart Tolle, I put his name there because Oprah, who at one time said that she was a Christian, and I don't know whether she's ever trusted Christ or not. I don't know where she stands, but she's pushing a different movement now with this man named Eckhart Tolle. And I talked about it last week that you got to be very careful because there are Christians who think he's a Christian, and they're reading his book saying, well, he's a really good Christian writer. He's not a Christian. He's not a Christian. He's not a Christian writer, and it's not Christian information. Okay? Then the occult, we'll talk about the occult. Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard, all of that stuff, and then I got some others. So we're going to look at these as over the next weeks to come. We'll go through these. We'll go whatever time we want to go and however how fast we want to go because it's our class, and we can do anything we want to do, right? So we're not in any kind of hurry. The summary part we'll deal with, how do we deal with the cult, three key principles, and then the idea of being salt and light. So that's what we went over that, of course, last week. We kind of hit on that. But let's start with the big four questions. I think we put these up last week, and that is, what is a cult? Why would we study the cults? Why do we do that? What are the marks of a cult? And then last but not least, why do people get involved with cults? Now, let me say this before we get into this. When people say we want to study the cults, this is probably the second or third time in the 23 years I've been here that I've actually taught the cults from a Sunday school class or something like that. And when the first time I did that, I thought, wait a minute, I got to think about this because people want me to talk about the cults. Do I want to just get up and say, here's what Mormons believe, here's what Jehovah's Witnesses believe, here's what Reverend Sun Moon, here's Scientology, here's all of this stuff? Well, the bottom line is we could spend a lot of time just saying, here's the basic beliefs of these people, but what we're going to do is compare this. We're going to hit on some of the things they believe, but we're going to compare them with what do they say about Christ, the Bible, and salvation. That's the big key. So you know and are grounded in what you believe about Christ, salvation, and the Bible, and then how it ties in with what these people may believe. So I just wanted to get that idea. The first question that we raised is, what is a cult? And I put this definition last week, and if you want to write it down, you can. It's a little bit long, but this was a definition from Walter Martin. Have you got that book? Do you have the book? Here's the book. Here's an excellent book. I mentioned it last week. It's called The Kingdom of the Cults. It was originally written by Walter Martin, and Ravi Zacharias has come and revised it because Walter Martin passed away, and he had done tremendous work on a lot of things, but since Walter died, there have been other groups kind of raise up, and so Ravi Zacharias has come in and revised some of the things and added to it. If you said, I want a book that has a lot of, has all these cults in it and sort of what they believe so that I can just have a good understanding of it, this would be an excellent book. Now, it's big and it's thick, and if you said, I want to read about Mormons or Jehovah's Witness or something, there's a lot of pages, and you may not want that much detail, but it is an excellent book to study the cults and have that. So he calls it The Kingdom of the Cults, and I don't think it's very expensive. Did you buy it recently? Who bought it recently? Oh, that seems to be expensive to me. But I think did you buy this like at a bookstore? Okay, if you go to Christian Book Distributors, you could probably get it cheaper if you wanted to. If you want to order it online, or you can go to another place and pay money. Walter Martin is the main author. He's passed away, but the other author who revised it is Ravi Zacharias. Excellent book. Okay, what's a cult? Walter Martin in his book says a cult is a group of people gathered around a specific person or person's interpretation of the Bible. That's what they say. It's sort of like a group of people gathered around somebody who has his view of the Bible or Jesus, and it becomes a movement, you might say, like a cult. We have another definition. I put a second one. It's just a religious group whose views is based on false doctrine. It's basically false teaching. And at the bottom of the page, I said, what is the difference between a cult and a false religion? Remember, a cult usually has something to do with Jesus, usually connected with Jesus. They talk about it as if they believe in Jesus in the way we do, while a false religion is something like Hinduism, Islam, those kind of things. Those are religions, while Christianity and a cult usually is connected some way with Christianity. Let me give you some examples of the connections. We've all heard of Jehovah's Witnesses. They were started, in a sense, by two men, Charles Russell and J.F. Rutherford. It's centered around their writings, their teachings, and their beliefs. Christian Scientist was a lady named Mary Baker Eddy. We'll get to this later, and sometimes I just, talk about it. Mary Baker Eddy was as a young person, was sickly, very sick all the time, always sick. She came to the belief that sickness was in your mind, and there's no such thing as death and no such thing as sickness. That when you think of Christian Science and you read their writings and you go to the Christian Science reading room and you read Mary Baker Eddy's writings, you're going to see that she believes that she was never really sick because it was all in her mind. There's no such thing as sickness and there's no such thing as death. I don't know where she is right now, but she's not alive, let me tell you that, okay? But she said there was no such thing as death. Anyway, that's that connection. With the Mormons, Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, two famous men in the sense that we've heard of, we've talked about this last week, that the Mormons over the last 20 years have changed their marketing system. They used to have ads talking about being Mormons in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now they don't mention Mormons, and they used to send the Book of Mormon. Now they say they'll send you another Testament of Jesus Christ along with the King James Bible. Their emphasis is the King James Bible now, but what they don't tell you is when they send you the King James Bible, they will send you another Testament of Jesus Christ, which is the Book of Mormon. So they changed their marketing strategy, and that's why there are many people who think the Mormons are Christians. They're right up the hill. And there are people saying, you got another church right up there by. I said, no, it's not a church. It's a cult. And you better be ready to defend what you believe. Okay? Because it's there. It's in this town. In fact, probably all of these are in this town in some way. If you over there by the, by Rec 7, what's that area called right there? Wicklow. On the other side of the street, Wicklow, behind there, there is a church back there that's sort of hidden in the little thing, and it's one of those Christian Scientist type churches. Look at it sometime. Just drive by there. The Unity Church. You say Unity. Unity Unitarians. There's a Unitarian church in town here. Unity School. Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. You say, I never heard of those people, but they started a movement that is a lot of places. Unitarian, Unity Church, Unitarians. What do they believe? You'd think, because they say we're Unitarians, which means we believe in unity of everything, so everything is the same. So you would think they would say it doesn't matter what you believe, all are right, because it's all unity. That sounds right until you actually get with them. And I was with what's used to be called AUM, the Association of University Ministries. Now it's called the Interfaith Council, and I have been on the Interfaith Council, and in that meeting, there was the woman pastor of the Unitarian church in this town. And since the Unitarians are supposed to believe everything and everything is fine, she stood up one day in a meeting and said, I would like to make a request. I would like for y'all not to use the name Jesus because it offends me greatly. And then she sat back down. I thought Unitarians would hold to everything but the truth of Jesus Christ. So that's here as well. Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard, some famous movie stars are into all that. You know, it's the old truth is if you reject Jesus Christ, you'll believe just about anything. And I mean, there are some things there that when we get to that, you're going to say, nobody could believe that. Nobody would believe that. Yeah, they do. They do. Eckhart Tolle in the New Earth, that's Oprah. All she has to do is say this book is outstanding. It becomes number one on those bestsellers list and people buy it. And she's into Eckhart Tolle, and she's into his philosophy. We talked about him last week. I think that everything is wonderful. That's his thing. And go to YouTube, put in Eckhart Tolle, and you'll hear him talk. Hear what he has to say. Go hear what he has to say. See if it matches the scripture. He will say some things that are scriptural, and that's why some people think he's a Christian. 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 1. We went over this last week. I just want to hit on it again. But there are false prophets also arose among the people, just there will be false teachers among you. He says, Peter's writing, he says, just there were false prophets, there will be false teachers. Notice what it says. And we went over this last week, so we can't go into a lot of detail on this. But that's at the top of that other page there. But listen what it says. It says, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, denying the master who bought them, bringing destruction upon themselves. False teachers secretly introduce destructive heresies. They bring in things. Some people have said that a heresy is a truth taken too far. They bring in things that almost look right, but they're not right. And before you know it, it's off. And people are believing things that aren't biblical and aren't true. And that's what a cult really is. And so you've got to be real careful. And Peter writes and says, be watch out, there are false teachers. They will secretly, they will bring in things that are destructive. Even denying the Lord who bought them. See, Jesus died on the cross to pay for the sins of every human being. Didn't mean everybody is saved, but he did buy everybody. That's what that means. 2 Corinthians 11 verses 13 through 15 talk about that there will be false teachers. They come as apostles of light, that Satan himself comes as an angel of light. Let me tell you this, and we talked about this last week. When the cult people are talking, they want to look as righteous and good and holy and right as they can. They will use the name Jesus. They will use the Lord. They will talk about God. They will talk about the Bible. They will do everything, try to make them, because see, Satan is a counterfeiter. He wants it to be as close to the real thing as possible without being the real thing. So just know that, and that's why you have to be ready. So there were false teachers. He says, just as there were false prophets, there will be false teachers bringing in destructive heresies, and that's going to be true. Yes?
The false prophets, are they going to be, or are they people that think they're right and they're misled, or are they intentionally misleading?
Okay, talking about the prophets or the teachers?
Yes.
Both of them? There were false prophets who gave prophecy in the Old Testament. They were wrong and they were put to death, supposed to have been. There were people who, it's hard to know. Listen, there are people, let me say this. I've always thought about it this way. There are people who teach things that are wrong, and if they knew what was right, they might teach what was right. They're just confused. There are people who teach what is wrong, and they know what they teach is not biblical. That is a false teacher. Now, the real question is, are all false teachers unbelievers? The answer, I think, is no. There may be people who trust in Jesus Christ, didn't get confused, get off on something, and get involved with something and teach the wrong thing. So just because a person is involved in a cult or teaching, they may be a believer if they've ever trusted in Christ, and maybe you're confused now. So just every false teacher doesn't necessarily mean they're not a believer. They may be. But there are people who know what they teach is incorrect, and they teach it anyway. That's a false teacher for sure. Okay, and then now they're false teachers. Sometimes they just don't know they're false teachers. They didn't know what's wrong. They thought, well, and I'm sure in our lives we believe things that we thought were right, and then we studied the Bible in more detail, and we go, whoa, that's the first time I've ever seen that. I mean, probably most of you are taught you're supposed to tithe, aren't you? Hadn't you been taught that? Go find me that verse that tells you a New Testament believer in the church says you're supposed to give a tenth. In fact, find me a passage in the Bible that says you're supposed to give a tenth. Okay, but you've been taught that all your life, haven't you? Hadn't you been taught all your life, repent of your sins and give your life to Jesus to be saved? That's what you people have been taught all their life. But then you go to the Scripture, you can't even find that. So sometimes people are taught things that are wrong, not because they're false teachers on purpose trying to lead them astray, but just sometimes people are confused. We're studying the cults. People are in these groups, and they're wrong. They're contrary to the Scripture, and we got to be very careful with them. Let's take part two here because we're running out of time. Why study the cults, okay? I think the two big reasons, I mean, we're not studying it just for the fun of studying it. We're studying it so we can do two things. Number one is to give an answer. 1 Peter 3:15, be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. We must be ready to answer. We must know what we believe and why. We must be ready to do all that. We say, hey, listen, I know, I'm ready to give an answer. What are you going to do when somebody comes to your door and says, I'd like to talk to you for a minute about the Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, or Jehovah's Witnesses, or a friend looks at you and says, hey, you know, this is that book that Oprah recommended by this guy. You know, this is some pretty good stuff in here. What are you going to do? You going to be ready to give an answer? You know, you've got to be ready to know what you believe and why you believe. The second one is to be grounded, and that ties together as with it. They go together to be grounded in the truths. Ephesians 4:11-15, he says, no longer children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by craftiness, you know, he says, but speaking the truth in love, we grow up. You've got to be grounded in the truth. Know what you believe, why you believe it. The number one group in the United States that is leaving a denomination and going to Mormonism is Southern Baptist. That's the number one group in the United States. If you got a Southern Baptist background, the number one denomination that are leaving Southern Baptist and going something else, Southern Baptists are going to Mormonism. Number one. Why? Because many Southern Baptists hadn't been taught the Scripture. They don't know what they're supposed to believe. And so when somebody comes and says, we're the same, we just got a little bit different way of looking at some things. So be careful. So why study the cults? Give an answer to the hope that is in us and be grounded in the truths of God's Word. Well, there's so much here. You know, you need to know the truth, because when you know the truth, you'll be able to recognize immediately error. I had a cousin that worked in a bank once a long time ago. And I asked her, I said, so why do you like working in the bank? What about counterfeit money? How do you see counterfeit money? Here's what she told me. She said when she got to the bank, when she first started working there, what they did is they got her in a room and they said, what we want you to do is just count money. I just want you to count it over and over. And so she started counting. She said, I counted 20s and 10s and 1s, 5s and 50s and everything. She counted over and over and over. And she said, like, are you going to show me like some counterfeit money so I can recognize it? And they said, no, once you know the real thing and you keep seeing it over and over and over again, immediately you'll recognize a counterfeit bill, immediately. And when you know the truth of God's Word and you got it in your mind, immediately you're going to say, that doesn't sound right. There's something wrong there. It doesn't match. You turn on the television and you hear one of those guys say something and you go, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't match what I know to be true from the Scripture. So you've got to be able to do that. It's so sad. I want to read something to you real quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You don't have to turn there. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says this. It says the Spirit says that in latter times, we're in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrine of demons. The truth is, the whole cult thing is the doctrine of demons. It's things that's contrary to the Scripture, and sometimes there'll be people who will fall away from the faith. That means the body of truth. That doesn't mean they're not a Christian. There are people who are Christians who fall away from the truth. They get involved in the wrong things. So be careful. That's why you need to know what you believe, why you believe in those. Let's talk about marks of a cult, okay? We'll get started on this and get through this. The first mark of a cult, what are some things? How are you going to be able to recognize these groups? Okay? I've got six marks that sort of stand out. Three are the key, but here's the first one. The first one is this. It's extra-biblical revelation. Now, what that means is they've got something other than the Bible. They've got revelation that's different than the Bible. They would come to you and say, well, we got the Bible, but there's also this book, or there's also this that was given to us. So they've got extra-biblical revelation. They have new revelation from God, they will say. They've got through some document, through some individual, something to complete the Bible, something to add light to the Bible, something to actually replace the Bible, whatever it could be. That's what these groups do. And so one of the things, one of the marks is when they come to you, they will not use the Bible only. They will say, we have the Book of Mormon, we have the Pearl of Great Price, we've got Doctrine and Covenants, we've got the Watchtower, we've got the writings of Mary Baker Eddy, we've got the writings of this. That's what they come to you with. And they want to say, but this revelation was given to us by God to Mary Baker Eddy or to Joseph Smith. And so this is on par with the Bible. So one of the things, one of the marks is what we call extra-biblical revelation. Now think about it. You think of a group like the Mormons. They've got the Book of Mormon. They got the Pearl of Great Price. They got Doctrine and Covenants. They've got about four other different writings. And one of the sad things about it is there are many people who are in the Mormon church that don't know what Joseph Smith or Brigham Young wrote. See, Joseph Smith and Brigham Young were prophets. That means they got direct revelation from God. And this is for their thinking. And so whatever Joseph Smith wrote or whatever Brigham Young wrote is on par or equal with, as they would say, the King James Bible. The problem with it is that what they wrote contradicts the Bible. And so we'll talk about it when we get into them. But be careful. The Jehovah's Witnesses have a thing called Watchtower. They talk about the Bible, but it's got to be their translation. They've got a is that the second bill? Oh, my goodness. Okay, they've got a special translation of their Bible, and then they have the Watchtower, which goes with it. Christian Science, the Reading Room. Eckhart Tolle, it is this new earth. They've got writings that you have to read. So the first one is extra-biblical revelation. I'll give you the second one, and we'll talk about it next time. It is what I call defective Christology, which means they're confused on Jesus Christ. They have the wrong view of Christ. Jehovah's Witnesses say Jesus is a God, but not the God. They believe Jesus was created. They believe Jesus has not existed for all time. He is the Son of God, but he is a God. There is Jehovah God who's always existed, and then there's Jesus who is like us. He was created by God at a certain time. That's what they believe. And so the first problem, the second one besides the extra-biblical revelation, it is defective Christology, which means a wrong view of Christ. What we'll do is we'll start there next week. We'll get into that, go through it pretty fast, and then time, Lord willing, we'll get through with this one, and we'll go ahead and start, most likely next week, the first of the different cults that we're going to be going through. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great, great, great morning. Thank you, Lord, for these truths. Help us to understand them. Lord, I just pray for myself and each one in this room that we, first of all, will know what we believe, that we'll be grounded in the truths of your word so we can stand strong. And second is that we can be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. So not only knowing what we believe in are being grounded, but then we'll be able to answer and help others so that they can either know the truth and then trust in Jesus or be grounded themselves. And so help us, Lord, to do that. Thank you, Lord, that as we study this, the bottom line and foundation is your perfect word that we know and apply in our lives. Thank you for each one that's here. Use us, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.